And Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I suspect that we're all pretty familiar with the story of David and Goliath. We've probably heard it just once or twice or more. Now, David, the little guy who takes on the Philistine giant. Philistine, that's an odd word, isn't it? Philistine giant. Goliath has the Israelites cornered, and each day he stirs them up by saying something like this: look, we don't have to go to war. You send out your best man and I'll fight, and the winner takes all. Now, recently, Samuel the prophet had anointed David to be king of Israel. God had sent Samuel to Jesse's home in Bethlehem. And to everyone's surprise, David is the one God chooses. It was so unexpected that they haven't even thought to bring him in from the fields. He was just a scrawny kid. God says he doesn't look at the things people look at. He looks at the heart and the mind. This is important in the story of God. Jesus agrees that when he says to his disciples, and to the Pharisees, and to the teachers of the law, the scribes, and anyone else who will listen, you think the most important thing in life is what you look like on the outside, how you behave, what you believe, what others think of you. But God knows what's going on the inside. You can fake it on the outside, but you can't fake it on the inside. And if you can't fake it on the inside, then it will show up on the outside. Here it is in 1 Samuel, in just one sentence. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now, shortly after David had been anointed, he finds himself in the king's service. God had rejected Saul, and the plan to install David has begun. And here's an important point. God works these things out over time. The way God wants to do this is by making David serve Saul. David is a unique person, shaped by his life as a shepherd. While out in the fields, David had developed quite a skill set. He has become both a warrior and a worshipper. He is tough. He tells Saul when he volunteers to fight Goliath, "As a shepherd, I took on a lion and a bear that tried to attack my father's sheep. This Goliath can't be worse than either of them." David was a musician and a poet. He was a true Renaissance man. By day a warrior and by night a worshipper. Saul had turned his back on God and was tormented by thoughts he couldn't get away from. But one thing helped: music. So David is hired to play for him and sing. Whenever David played and sang, Saul felt better. Now, if you want to know how David was feeling about life, take a look at the Psalms. Because in them we find David's joys and struggles. You find him at times in pits of deep despair and amazing depression, really. And other times, triumphant joy and exaltation. David is very transparent at what he wrote. It was a heart that sought after God. We see this in the Psalms and the shift that he made from singing about God to singing to God. Intimacy with God. His songs reflect his cycle of life. And it was deeply connected to his own intimate walk with God. He knew what it was like to be led by God. He knew what it was like to rebel against God and have to face the shame and the consequences of his actions. He knew how God provided for his deepest needs. And David knew that if he was going to reach the mountaintop, he would have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. David's heart was shaped by a covenant relationship with God. This was the rich resource in David's songwriting and the solid foundation on which he built his life. The security that came from his walk with God bred confidence and courage as he set out to extend God's rule. Now, in this series, we've been talking about covenant and kingdom, and the life of David, covenant and kingdom are being worked fully out. Covenant is the relationship God invites us into, and throughout David's life, we see him living out that relationship with God and with people. Kingdom is the way God gives us responsibility. God gives his authority to David and yet withholds his ability to exercise power until the time is right. And what is true for David is true for us. God invites us into relationship with him and we get caught up in it, and he gives us a kingdom vision for how we are to live our life for him, and then it doesn't happen. This is because God has a training program before he will let us walk in the authority and the power necessary to accomplish the kingdom responsibility. Now let's just hear this carefully. We all will have kingdom responsibility. And we are to be faithful with everything God gives us to do. But God's timing is everything. However, we should not be surprised if, like David, we're called to serve in the court of the king who has made choices and turned his back on God. That king is no fun to work for. Like David working for Saul, we may find ourselves submitting to people and circumstances we really don't like. For David, everything comes to a head when Saul becomes so fed up with David's success, including on the battlefield. A song was being sung. Saul kills his thousands, but David tens of thousands. I mean, can you just imagine Saul's ego at this point? I mean, he's the king. And here's this whippersnapper of a kid. Everybody's singing. He's doing 10 times better than the king. I mean, let's face it, and the girls all know this, bloke's egos are pretty fragile at the best of times, aren't they? No, guys, don't need to answer that, and nor do our wives. But that's just sort of the reality. And for Saul, he was in trouble. And so one night at dinner, even though Saul has promised his son Jonathan, and David, his best friend, that he will not hurt David, he grabs his spear and throws it at David and pins him against the wall. David flees and enters into a new phase of life. And it seems that everything is falling apart. He hears whispers that Saul is out to get him, and before long it is clear that David is Saul's enemy. But David has sworn that he will not take the throne by force. And he heads out into the desert. Interesting, isn't it, how the Bible uses the desert. Last week we talked about Moses and the time he spent there. Really important. Now David is in the desert trying to figure out what to do, and God's blessing is still with him. And David goes to a cave called Adullam to hide and get his bearings. And all these men turn up and pledge their allegiance to him. Scripture says, all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their commander. And pretty soon Saul catches up to David with his troops. And Saul brings 3,000 men with him to David's 400 or so. And as that happened, Saul has a call of nature and he goes into the very cave where David is hiding. But David would not lift his hand against the Lord's anointed. Opportunity knocked, but it was not the right opportunity. David held firm. It says something about his character, doesn't it? In time, as we know, David became king after the death of Saul and his sons in a battle. And David became a great king who built the city of David, Jerusalem. And from the city he grew and strengthened his kingdom. And at times he messed up badly, like with Bathsheba. When confronted with his sin, was fully repentant and accepted the judgment it brought. His very human heart was constantly shaped by his relationship with God. To fulfill and to express his love and worship of God, he longed to build a temple. A good dream and vision, but not one God had given him. And he had to accept this and humbly recognize that his destiny did not include everything he wanted to do. So David's life was one of humble beginnings, of great triumph, from noble achievements and devastating loss and chaos. The question is, what do you do when life is thrown into chaos? Now, there is a human tendency to either be overwhelmed or go into denial. When we deny the reality of our circumstances, it's very hard to learn from it. And if we are overwhelmed by it, we can find ourselves lost in pain and uncertainty. David experienced the tensions of living out God's kingly authority here on earth in at least two ways. In the early part of David's life, he learned the not yet of the kingdom. He was anointed and a selected, but had to wait until the appointed time to receive the authority and the power of the throne. And learning submission in that way, he was ready to hear God's not yet and not you in relation to the temple. David's desire to establish the temple was wonderful, but someone else had been chosen for the task. The temple would be built by his son Solomon. The fabric of David's inner life was woven together with covenant and kingdom, a deep relationship with God and a recognition that he is called to represent God. Together, these strands fashioned David's identity and purpose, which was to worship God and extend the boundaries of his recognized kingship. Worship was David's intimate expression of covenant relationship, connecting of his heart to God. Warfare was the ultimate expression of kingdom authority and power resulting in David taking possession of what God promised. Covenant and kingdom, way of life, is of great significance. It is the pattern Jesus lived out in his ministry and forms the basis of the New Testament and understanding of covenant and kingdom. The New Testament clearly teaches that the covenant promise is the basis for our kingdom fight. In the New Testament, covenant is expressed in the intimate terms of loving worship. The kingdom is understood in terms of spiritual warfare. As Jesus and his followers fight to retake possession of what was lost, kingdom courage flows out of covenant confidence. It's always true. And my question to you is this, as I ask this of myself. Are you ready and willing to take up your place in the covenant of God and fulfill your kingdom responsibilities representing God to the community in which you live and are called to serve with renewed commitment and energy? The Spirit is calling. How will you answer? Oh God, we thank you for David. We thank you for his transparency and his honesty. We thank you that you wouldn't let him off the hook. That when he absolutely messed up, you kept inviting him and welcoming him and confronting him. And then restoring him when he came to himself and recognized his foolishness, rebellion and a sin. We thank you that he was not impatient when you called and appointed him. He's willing to wait for the time, the right time. Lord, help us to be discerning of your voice so that we would know when the right time is for when you call us to act. Help us not to get ahead of you. Help us also not to drag our feet. Help us to see that you are constantly inviting us into this covenant relationship with you. Our identity becomes yours. Our life becomes yours. And out of that, we serve in kingdom responsibility. Being you, wherever in life you placed us. Lord, help our confidence and our covenant relationship and the identity you have shaped in us be such that we would have the courage to fulfill our kingdom calling. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.